Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just looking at the audio thing the whole time and he
There you go.
We have Shrek in the building, everyone.
There we go.
Do you think this would make a good Tinder bio picture or
Yes. Please yes do it would.
Better than my current one of me hugging a Met card machine. Yeah.
And then your bio will be get in my swamp.
Get in my swamp. Welcome to an unquestioning episode of Mike's Camera Action, where we're just taking up ads on Craigslist this week without ever getting our client's phone number, address, or even their last name. I'm your host, Carl. I'm joined by my co-host, Alex.
Hello.
And this week we're joined by special guest Lizzie, aka the Halloween Queen.
Hello, boos and ghouls.
I've been waiting weeks to hear that. So guys, this week...
How do I delete things from a podcast that's still recording?
Take up editing responsibility.
Ugh, no.
So guys, this week we're doing... So we've been trying to get like a good range of movies for Spooktober.
Yeah.
And so this week we wanted like the found footage type of movie. And I didn't want to do Paranormal Activity because I hate Paranormal Activity.
I've never seen one.
Or Blair Witch Project.
Or Blair Witch
never seen that either.
That's like the classic.
You're not missing out.
Yeah, really.
We could have done Cloverfield, isn't that?
Yeah, but Cloverfield's not a horror movie.
It's a weird monster movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you could say the same of Chronicle, though. That's a found footage movie, but it's not technically horror.
Yeah. Yeah, Chronicle's definitely more of a thriller movie.
Okay.
So this week we did Creep, which I hadn't heard of until Lizzie gave it out to me the other week, saying like, hey, you should totally take a look at Creep. And I was like, what's Creep? And it's like, oh, yeah, this will fit perfectly. So it means we didn't have to do Blair Witch or Paranormal Activity, which is great.
So Creep is written by Patrick Bryce and Mark Duplass. And Mark Duplass, if anyone's familiar with any American TV, is a part of the cast of The League, which is a show about fantasy football. Mm-hmm. And it's full of shenanigans. And Mark Duplass has been in a lot of things. He's done a lot of independent films, a lot of really romantic type indie films, like if you've watched Safety Not Guaranteed, he's the guy who tries to travel in the past.
Okay.
So he's done this film with his friend Patrick Bryce, and it's just them two, really. So Patrick Bryce is the character Aaron, and Mark Duplass is Joseph, who is the antagonist of the film, if you want to call him that.
AKA Mr. Peach Fuzz.
Mr. Peach Fuzz.
So weird. But this is as like indie as you can get with a horror movie.
Oh, where definitely. It's as...
The crew for this movie must be tiny, because realistically, you could almost do it with just a crew of two. Like, you've got two writers, two on-screen actors. There's a couple more voices thrown in there, but two people who hold up the entire movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Mark Duplass and I think his brother and the Blumhouse Productions, they produced it. And it's directed by Patrick Bryce, the character who plays Aaron.
Yep.
And they pretty much put it together from scratch.
Yeah, and so you pretty much have the director playing a character on screen who's got the camera in his hand the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's not... Yeah, they can pretty much have like a crew come in for the day, set the scene, do all the lighting, tweak everything they need to that needs to be done, and then just leave.
Yeah, it's student theater.
Pretty much. it's student film done.
Oh, film. Sorry, so used to the stage.
Yeah, like there was basically like no evidence that many other people were there.
Yeah.
Between the fact that they kept moving and like half the time they just put the camera down.
Yeah, just slap the camera on a table and point at Joseph and you're done.
Yeah, and then you just have like whether or not he did it himself, like actually move the camera or not, or just dub over it, but still just looking over it and then not.
Mm. Yeah, it's super simple. Like just have a guy like a third person to listen to the sound and make sure everything's clear. And even then like you don't even need to, this kind of film, like you see this a lot with found footage movies where you don't need to actually make it perfect. Like with most big films, you have to like properly light a scene. You have to put in all this work. And someone told me once that like, it's not about, with film, unlike a stage production, you don't need everything to look incredible.
Yeah.
You just need this tiny little rectangle.
Yeah.
Of that room to look amazing. That's it.
Yeah.
And that'll make, like, provided that window for 1 month of production or however long it takes you looks amazing, the film's great.
Yeah.
Whereas with a film like this...
It's the imperfections that make it.
Exactly.
It makes it more realistic.
Like, you can improperly light a scene and it comes out better for it in a way.
Yeah, because he's just a camera dude. He's just got a camera. He's not like lighting anything. He's just following this dude with a camera.
So you can see like a lot of grain in this movie from having like, you know, the ISO cranked up and in a dark scene. You can just kind of see that like, oh, okay, there's a bit of noise from the camera being in auto or whatever.
Yeah.
Which almost gives it that realism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like one of the best scenes in the film is when it's completely blacked out and you hear Joseph's monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we won't give away.
No, we go full spoilers on the show.
You do?
Let's do that.
We're doing reviews.
Spoilers.
I wouldn't call our show a review show though. We don't really give them numbers or anything like that. Like mostly we're talking
five
about
out
movies
of five.
We kind
of
like.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
5 out of 7.
2 thumbs up.
5 out of 7. Such an arbitrary measurement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 5 out of 7.
2 bowls of spaghetti.
Oh, don't go touching my spaghetti.
Somebody.
Spaghetti to forgetty, you're regretty.
So this movie's
don't
like...
Don't be upsetty. Have some spaghetti.
It's falling out of your pockets, man.
Aaron just should have eaten that spaghetti. He would have been much better.
I think the entire duration of the film, all they had were those pancakes.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. All that was eaten was pancakes.
Yeah, so it's pretty much...
Oh, and the whiskey that was drugged.
Yeah.
Drugged whiskey, but only one of them was drugged.
Yeah, I was surprised Aaron wasn't drugged.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was watching.
Joseph, and his glass was full.
Yeah.
He had a full glass of whiskey and didn't touch it, whereas Aaron, you cut back to it, and he's like, glass is like half empty. And then he goes on about it being a big one, but it's the same amount that he poured himself, apparently.
But that was the entire MO of Joseph the entire time. Yeah. He didn't actually really touch him besides hugging him creepily. It was pretty much just making him as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah.
He was the creep.
He was pushing the limits with that. Even during their scuffle near the end when Aaron decides, I need to get the fuck out of here, there's a tiny scuffle, but it's... Pretty much that's it. It's just a scuffle.
Yeah, he pretty much just like...
And Aaron is the one that charges him, really.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was impressed about. Like, normally in a horror movie, your protagonist just kind of like goes, oh no, the monster or whatever. In this one, he just straight up runs into him and tackles him out of the way.
Yeah, but Aaron's like bigger than this dude.
Yeah, Aaron throws the first punch, actually.
Yeah. I think it's one of those ones where like, I need to get out. It's the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is just a dude.
Yeah, the thing is, it's been building up the entire time from when he first sees the axe in the stump to the end when Joseph is blocking the door in the creepy-ass peach fuzz mask, which is a wolf mask. It's not just a peach.
No.
It's a scary wolf named
Peach. It's a terrifying wolf mask, and it's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know why you called it Peach Fuzz either. It's just the most bizarre sort of...
Mr. Peach Fuzz.
And the song, may think I'm a big bad wolf.
Oh, God. It's horrible.
But I'm as friendly as a rabbit. It's terrifying.
Did he come up with that, like, on the spot?
No.
Or does he have that, does he use that with every single...
Everyone.
He uses that with everyone, because in the sequel, because there is a sequel, folks, he does whistle it in some of his footage, and he'll sing it throughout the time. So it's just dripping with...
Yeah.
Suspense.
I mean, like, at the end of the film, he writes Aaron, love heart, and then puts it in, and there's just piles of VHS and DVDs. So he's been doing this a long time. I assume it's not something he just made up on the spot.
I'm hoping he varies it up every now and again. Otherwise, like, there's gotta be a police investigation going on for, like, the guy who's killing people who are only people who own video cameras.
Well, we aren't talking about the sequel because neither of you have seen it, but I've seen the sequel, and the sequel it just came out last year.
Yep.
Fairly new, and a much more polished version of the film, and it is different.
Yep.
So it, pretty much that premise is him reaching a mental block with his art.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So he, in that film, he discusses with the new potential victim his life as a documentary series. So the whole time you're just like, the audience knows he is a serial killer, whether the filmmaker filming him is just thinking he's a crazy guy on Craigslist, just saying shit.
See, now, I feel like going to our like new thing that we do on this show for some reason now of like movies we want to make, I've just had the idea of you do the same thing, like Joseph wanting, like this creepy character wanting someone to record their life, and then they just go out and be a serial killer. Like, it's like, yeah, I need you to document this for me. Then picks up the axe and goes out killing people.
That's pretty much Creep too.
Yeah. Really? Is that actually
Sort of, in a nutshell. So, without giving too much away, because neither of the...
No, go ahead. Like.
No way.
Oh.
That's no. Okay. The best part
you want
is
me to see
the
this? Build up.
Yes, I want all right. you all to watch Creep 2.
Both of which are on Netflix right now, by the way, audience.
Netflix, get on it.
Yeah.
So anyways, so in this next one, Joseph, who has called himself Aaron in this one.
Oh, that's so weird.
So he started to call himself Aaron. He kind of gets into his life as a serial killer to his new filmmaker, which is a woman, actually, named Sarah.
Yep.
So in the duration of Creep, you're thinking this guy is weirdly kind of gay, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he talks about having a wife. He talks about having a child on the way. But he's got these crazy gay vibes, like, the entire time. Like, as soon as Aaron arrives, gives him a hug, and then he just keeps hugging him, and it's just awkward for everyone involved. He gets naked in front of him within 10 minutes.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, right after being the guy, like, hey,
let's get into the tub.
I'm going to run a bath. Follow
tubby
him with
time.
Me.
Tubbies. Tubby time.
Oh, God, that's so weird. Scene 2 of the movie, and it's just tubbies, yo.
Tubbies, yeah. Ugh. So he has a bath, and he imagines a child. So in the second one, we already know. The audience knows who he is.
Yeah.
And we know who Aaron is.
Yeah.
So he calls himself Aaron to the new girl, Sarah. And you're just like, all right, maybe she's okay, because she's not a boy, you know?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No, so he comes forth to her, and he pretty much says, I am a serial killer. I've killed 39 people.
Oh, my God.
I don't like the term serial killer. He just goes into it.
Yep.
He goes into it. But we don't know if he's lying or not.
Yeah.
Because even true serial killers, they tend to lie about their numbers.
Mm.
So a thing, I do a lot of research on serial killers because I myself am a creep.
she wants to know how not to get caught. Best way to do that is to look at how other people have done it.
Lizzie, are you
Halloween
the Zodiac
queen,
killer?
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, she's actually Ted Cruz.
I would like to think I'm not as ugly as Ted Cruz, but okay, thanks. Confidence is just shooting through the roof. Oh, but anyways, so he comes out full ham. He also gets naked within 10 minutes of seeing this person.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but this time we don't get the awkward pubes. We get full penis.
Oh, we get dick.
Oh, we get pain.
So there's actually dick in Creep 2?
Oh, and he's packing heat.
Oh, man, I'm looking at Creep 2. I'm going home and watching Creep 2 right after this. It's happening. I was like, oh, man, is there dick in this movie when we were watching it last night? And I was so disappointed.
I'm finding a whole new side of you, Carl.
There ain't enough dick in movies. It's unfair.
It's
unfairly
actually.
Skewed.
It is.
Yeah.
Carl just wants to look at more dicks.
Hey, man, Game of Thrones is unfairly balanced towards, like, there's too much women nudity, not enough male nudity. Throw more in, man.
But it's
all I'm saying is gender equality, dude.
Yeah, nudity's kind of awkward, though, because, like, if you're saying boobs equals penis.
Not quite, no.
Yeah, exactly, because men are quite frequently shirtless on screen.
Oh, yeah.
However, I have never really seen a vagina on screen, so yeah, if we're going genitalia,
yeah, like maybe a 1-5 ratio, like,
yeah, so
five boobs, one dick,
five boobs,
five individual,
what, five
boobs?
Individual,
you
like
one. You get the left one.
No, it's like the dramatic, like, sheet over one of them though. Yeah. You still got
like,
a bit
like
of
you
skin
get a toga,
to tantalize,
like two fully, boom. Yeah, like two fully naked, but one in a toga.
Yeah. You're trying to make it, like, tasteful, but, like, still, you're just like, yeah, this is for the sleazeballs.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're everywhere. But you also do get brief boobs in the second one, because Sarah, the filmmaker, she doesn't scare easily. Her whole thing is that she writes, she does this, so she has her own YouTube channel. That's pretty much what she's doing. She has her YouTube channel, and it's called Encounters, and she answers Craigslist ads.
Oh my God!
Oh, wow.
So
she answers, and she will
talk to the weird people. There's a guy who wants to be mothered. There's a guy who's she just sees weird people, and she talks to them, and she doesn't scare. So when Joseph starts doing his "I'm gonna try to creep you out" thing, she's like, okay. Let me creep you out then.
Oh, that'll fucking drive him mad,
and
I bet.
It did. It did. Nice. So in the first movie, Joseph takes Aaron to the woods, and I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to tire him out.
Yeah.
He's trying to tire him out, and you wonder, are you trying to tire him out because you're going to kill him tonight?
Yeah.
But that's not Joseph. Joseph likes to build it up. He likes to savor it.
Yeah.
And in the second one, so he does the same thing with Sarah. He takes her on a hike, but she starts asking him questions, whereas Aaron is purely there to document.
Yeah.
But Sarah's there to interview, and he gets frustrated.
Okay.
He's like, he abruptly stops and he says, "You're asking a lot of questions." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "I don't think he's used to collaboration."
He just wants to talk and just be there. But no, I want to ask questions.
No,
I want
he wants to
guide
drive.
The conversation.
Yeah. Exactly. He wants to drive, and that's just a serial killer way, I think, is to be in control at all times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's got to be the bigger wolf.
Yeah. Whereas. the bigger, better wolf.
He's the one giving the tubby.
Get your tootsies wet, everybody.
Get those tootsies wet. Ooh, tickles a little bit. Christ alive. I feel dirty saying that.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very bizarre. The tubby scene still gets me. It's just as, like, out of nowhere, the first scene you get is, like, I feel like it sets the tone well because it, like, throws you for a loop.
Yeah, it really throws a curveball out of nowhere.
Like, this guy's, like, appeared out of nowhere, a bit jarring. But next thing you know, he's getting in the tub.
Yeah, so.
And you're watching him get in the tub.
It's within 5 minutes of meeting Joseph. He's saying weird things. He's like, "Hello, oh my God, this is going to be a good day. Hope the drive was fine." And he says, "I'm going to get in the tub." And Aaron's like, "Okay." And then he goes into the bathroom and he's getting naked. And he's like, "No, it's okay. Stay. It's okay." And then the whole film that he's proposed to Aaron is that he's making this, like, day in the life for his unborn child because he has cancer and he's going to die.
Yeah.
So he mimics having a baby in the tub with him. So it's like, you got this weird ghost baby and naked guy who's talking about dying at the end of the tub.
And honestly, like, the first scene where we meet Joseph, like, sure enough, it starts off a bit like, "Oh, this guy's a bit weird. How's, like, this is going to, like, you're expecting..." Based on what you know about the film, like, you're expecting, okay, so this is going to be a whole thing. But there's a moment there where he actually kind of becomes a little bit sweet to me. Like, sure enough, he comes across creepy, but there's a moment where I kind of empathize with him. Where he starts talking about, like, "Yeah, I'm having a kid on the way. Yeah. I've got cancer, like a tumor the size of a baseball in my head, completely inoperable."
Right up until he's like, "Let's get in the tub."
That is the moment when it crashes. But until then, I was like, "Oh, that's so sweet." Like, he just wants his kid to have something to remember his, like, dad by.
And that's what Joseph preys upon. He preys upon people taking pity on him.
Yeah,
because Aaron's like, "I don't want the money."
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to leave, but he ends up coming up for a drink. He doesn't want to meet him at the park at the end, but he's like, he looks so sad and pathetic, and that ultimately
Aaron
is
was
what
still
kills
gonna
him.
Get, Aaron was still going to get murdered.
Oh, Aaron was dead no matter what. It was either he shows up and gets killed on a park bench, or he doesn't show up, and 3 days later, he gets beheaded in his own house.
The thing I enjoyed the most about this film was the false ending.
Yeah.
Where, like, you cut back and it's Aaron being like, "Yeah, that was the weirdest experience of my life."
Yeah.
And now, but now there's this. He keeps sending me stuff, and you're like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, that was, I remember at the start of the movie, I checked the runtime, and I was like, "Oh man, this is only like an hour and 15 minutes. This is really quick." And when it comes to, like, him blocking the door as Mr. Peach Fuzz, I thought, "Oh, okay, that must be the end when it goes to black." And I was like, "Okay, so we're going to get, like, one more scene, and it's where he's digging the grave."
Yeah.
So I thought, "Oh, that's it."
Yeah,
like, he's killed Aaron.
That's the bizarre scene, and you're like, "Oh, whoa, what's this going on?" And then he cuts to Aaron, and you're like, "Wait, what?"
I was just like, oh, he's still alive. There's still more to this movie. Cool. And it started getting, like, worse and worse, where it's like, suddenly the guy's coming to his house. He's like, he's sent him that disc, so he knows where he lives.
Yeah.
Then Aaron puts in a new door lock.
Yeah.
And then he shows up outside his friggin' house. He sends the package. Yeah, he sends a box
with a
containing a knife
and a wolf,
a DVD, and
a stuffed wolf that Aaron has to rip open to find a locket that plays little music, has a picture of Joseph, has a picture of Aaron, and it says J plus A forever.
See, if Aaron had just taken that to the police.
Yeah,
I feel like they could have built up a case around it.
Yeah.
Take all your footage.
The footage where you've got him admitting to rape.
Yeah.
Him getting into a violent altercation.
Yeah.
You've got all of the evidence right there to at least build a case against the guy.
And all he did was call the cops and say.
Yeah. He just said, "Hey, I think I have a stalker."
Yeah.
Don't know his name.
Don't know where he lives. And of course, the cops can't do anything. You've given them nothing. And it's just like. It's classic white boy. Let's be real.
Classic American white boy. This guy's like the whitest. Like, if you take like the stereotype of like white dudes in horror movies putting themselves in danger, this guy's the worst.
I'd also like to point out that he shares a physical resemblance to Carl.
How dare you?
He does.
He's got.
He does have a ginger beard. That is true.
He's got ginger beard.
Similar
haircut. He's got glasses.
Yeah, he's got a physical resemblance to Carl, and it's just bizarre.
Yeah, I'm totally...
He's
I'm,
American
I'll,
Carl.
I'll admit it. I'd die if I was in a horror movie, if it happened for real. I'd be dead. I'd be screwed. That said, I'd call the police super early, but I'd still wind up murdered.
Oh, fuck that. I'd go home. I would say, nah, don't want to drink. Bye.
Yeah. It's like, no, I can't drive. I need to go home. I can't drink.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what? He already had the keys at that point, I feel.
When did he get the keys, though? That's what
Didn't
I'm wondering.
Didn't Joseph drive?
Aaron did drive. But when would he have gotten the keys?
That's what I'm wondering, because I would have thought he would have taken him, like, in the process of getting him a drink. Because he said, like, are they in your jacket? That's where he checked first.
Mm.
And his jacket had been taken off and put on the kitchen counter.
Oh, yeah, so he had all the cards. That's the thing, though. Joseph pretty much let Aaron have all the cards the entire time.
Yeah.
And Aaron chose to stay and chose to drag out this horrible thing. Like,
yeah.
Like the minute I feel... But maybe this is just me as a woman. The minute a man gets naked and goes into a tub, goodbye.
See ya.
I am taking your money. Goodbye. You.
How about no?
I'll pass.
Hard pass. No thanks.
Check out.
Goodbye.
This is the part where I punch in and punch out.
It's looking rapey already. You don't need to tell me your rape story. You've got all the red flags.
You've just taken your pants off and I didn't really want this. No.
I see the V of your pelvis. Please stop. Oh, God. There's pubes.
And there's dick. Except there is in this movie.
No, he turned off the camera.
He cut just in time.
It's the only time he turns off the camera, even when he's like, turn off the camera. He's like, no.
Well, I mean, would you have?
No, I wouldn't know.
Damn right. Just put the lens cap on, stick it in your lap, and nah, you're done.
Hide the little blinking red light.
Hide the red light.
Although put some blue tack on it.
Yeah. Although on some cameras, you can turn that off, I found.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. All you do is put the lens cap on, say it's not recording, you're good to go.
I think that Joseph knew that he was recording the rape story.
Though. Oh, yeah.
He wanted him
Probably.
To. He wanted him to.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He let Aaron have all the cards, but Joseph was in control the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew he was in control.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, we talked about how Aaron throws the first punch and tackles him out of the way. But he does also do a lot. Like, there was a moment here where I was trying to figure out, like, okay, so the title of the movie is Creep.
Mm.
I was wondering if there was a curveball coming at some
point.
Yeah,
I was trying to think,
okay, who's the creep in this
exactly.
title? Because there's a moment where Aaron drugs Joseph.
Yeah. He has a bottle of Benadryl. He sneaks it in. And you can see him doing it.
Yeah.
There is a point. Like, I don't think you guys noticed it, but there was a point where he looked at the camera and put the Benadryl in the whiskey cup. And there's, like, a lot of whiskey in and
Give
Joseph's.
Him a triple.
Yeah, and there's, like, a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is the whole time. That's why it doesn't, even though it's only, like, an hour 15, it feels much longer because they really stretch out the suspense.
Yeah.
It was really well done. Like, the shots were, like, not... Like, I've seen some found footage stuff that just doesn't work because they're trying to, like, play up the fact that it's found footage.
Yeah, there's one in particular that I really have a gripe with.
Oh, yeah?
Which is Unfriended.
Yeah.
Which, that's the one where it's a bunch of kids in a Skype call.
Yeah.
And the entire film is, or the majority of the film is just these, like, four windows in a Skype, or five, six windows in a Skype call.
Yeah.
And they're all just talking into the camera going, oh, my God, things are happening on screen. And it just feels like... It came across really lazy.
Yeah.
Because they pretty much had all the cards and the elements in there to make what could have been technically the best film of all time, but it's poorly executed.
Yeah.
And the story's a bit weak.
The best found footage film of all time.
Yeah, because you...
That's...
Well,
whoa,
yeah. No,
I'm saying,
as far as, like, things... Technical things go. As far as continuity and all that kind of stuff goes, it could have been incredible because you've got... The way they manipulate it is you've got, like, all these kids in the same like, the way they actually shot it was all these kids are in the same house.
Yeah.
With a GoPro in front of them.
Yeah.
And they're just talking and, you know, they've got, like, the room dress behind them and that's about it. Because the whole film is just, like, a video of this desktop, like, of this monitor, they constantly use things like windows to block off camera angles. The screen kind of flickers every now and again and cameras blink in and out. And that's just them cutting and using a different take.
Yeah.
Which gives you potential to make it really good, but it just came across as crappy.
Yeah.
And it just came across as very lazy, the way it was done.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. That kind of... There's a lot of found footage movies like that come across as real... Like, that just leave a sour taste in your mouth about all found footage movies.
Yeah.
Like, on the whole, I consider them to be pretty crummy. Because there aren't many good ones. And I think Creep is pretty good.
Creep, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that it's... Genius is in its simplicity. Two guys, one camera. That's it.
Yeah, super simple. I think part of that has been a bit of the film student in me that's kind of ruined that. Mm-hmm. Where I've seen a lot of people just be like, you know, in high school and early, like, university, we'd be like, okay, make a short film. And they'd just be like, horror movies are easy. No. I'm just going to do a found footage movie. And it's just like it's a guy with a camera wandering around, and it's boring and super lazily done. And yeah, so I just see that a lot.
And the thing with Creep is that its momentum is all the time. All the time. Yeah. Even when they're stretching out the suspense, there's still that level of moving. Whereas with a lot of found footage films, it's like waiting for things to happen. Whereas with Creep, you know this that something is going to happen. But what is it?
Yeah.
It's like my favorite bit of the entire film, and this is the end of the film, is when Aaron finally decides to meet Joseph at the park bench.
Yeah.
So Joseph sends him a last video and says, I am a sad, lonely person. I'm a pathological liar. Mm-hmm. Everything's hard for me. I think you're my last chance at friendship. And Aaron really feels for the guy. Yeah. He feels really sad.
No.
Mistake number one. Yeah. I have known pathological liars. They feel nothing.
They feel nothing
inside. They feel nothing. Anyways.
But I feel like part of it is he wanted to go to this meeting. And Joseph kind of lays out the cards like, yeah, just come here and like we'll have a talk.
It's a public place. Yeah. You can see houses. You can see cars driving
by. And he tells him like, if you want to tell me that you never want to see me again, then that's fine, provided we have closure. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
He kind of presents as that's all he wants.
He presents it as this is the last time we can meet together if you want. He pretty much sets it so that Aaron has the choice.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, everyone. He doesn't.
No.
He's going to get murdered either.
So what happens is Aaron's on a park bench. He's facing the lake. And
why doesn't he look behind?
I don't know. That's the thing. And that's what
Why would you sit on a bench facing one way?
In all fairness, part of it, because Joseph shot the video on that bench, looking out over the lake.
No, that was Aaron's camera.
No, I mean, Joseph, when he sent the video to Aaron saying, hey, let's meet here, he was sitting on that, I think he was sitting on that same park bench.
So
and
he
so he was saying, like,
same.
Hey, come here to this exact spot, and then we'll have shit out.
Yeah.
So I think Aaron was doing the same thing, where he's like, okay, I found the spot, I'll sit right there, and that's where he'll be.
Yeah, and I mean, Aaron does turn around. He hears a chainsaw in the back, and he looks behind
him.
And the chainsaw is just like, oh shit, is this it? But no, it's so perfect.
So I don't usually watch movies with subtitles, and we picked this out when we were watching it.
Oh, yeah, I love
But the chainsaw, like when it said chainsaw buzzing in the subtitles, that threw me off for so much of a loop.
Yeah.
Because I was like, holy fuck, he's just going to come running in with a chainsaw, isn't he? This is going to be weird as fuck.
And but he doesn't, everyone.
No.
This is what happens. Spoiler alert. So Joseph comes in. Comes creeping in from the right side, and it's all very right corner, lower right corner.
The left side of the frame is pretty much just
just
the
lake. It's all pretty much dead space, but it's to build, I think it's to show people just how public it is. There are houses. There's houses.
Yeah, there could be people
watching. There's a highway across the lake.
See, but it's like, it's public but secluded.
A little bit. Like, we don't see, there aren't people on this side. There aren't people running back and forth.
Even
the car isn't...
Even when, like, Joseph was recording the video, it was sequoited. It's a public place, but it's pretty
secluded. Public.
Yeah, it's public.
As
like,
in, it's
as in
out.
There are houses and there are cars, but there's no one really there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like there's just people walking their dogs back and forth.
No, it's like one of those lakes you go to, like, on a weekday or something.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one really there because kids are in school.
Yeah.
People are doing their jobs.
And he even went for, like, 11 a.m. when it's not, like,
it's
during work and school. So people aren't typically running around.
It's a very,
very
calculated move. A very calculated move.
Yeah.
So Joseph walks in the corner, and he's wearing a trench coat. And you're like, oh, man, that's a murder coat. And then, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but he drops the axe.
Yep. Yeah, you can see just the blade sticking out under
his foot. So he drops the axe, and then he opens up his coat, puts on his wolf mask. And you're like, oh, come on, buddy, don't scare him. Because at first you're like, maybe he won't. Maybe he's just going to scare him. Because throughout the duration of the time Aaron spent with him at the house, he's just doing jump scares at him.
Yeah.
Jump scares the entire time. So he flicks open his trench coat, picks up the axe, and just kind of creeps behind him. And you're like, surely Aaron will turn around. And it's just going to be a scare.
Yeah.
He's going to turn around. And it's so agonizingly slow.
Oh,
it's like 30
slow.
Seconds
this is like
of
the longest
him creeping.
Shot.
He waits. He holds the axe up to see if he'll turn around.
And
above Aaron's head.
He's sitting there like winds up the shot and he's just holding it like for a full 6 seconds where he doesn't
and
move.
And then
he's just
he drives it. And at first, when I first watched it, I was like, it's going to be a plastic axe. It's not going to be real. But then thunk, it's real.
And I got to say, the dropping that axe, is so brutal in this movie because unlike we saw Mandy last week, where it's just violence left and right. There's people losing limbs. There's people dying constantly.
And then you
in
get,
this,
you get
there's
desensitized
no violence.
To that. Yeah.
Exactly. In this is nothing. And the moment it goes.
It's kind of like in
there's
BoJack.
There's no blood. There's no like no like obvious
no
blood splatter.
Yeah.
There's no gore to it.
It's just an axe embedded 2 inches
in
his
skull.
Film.
There's an axe in this man's head now, and that's
it. It's just and it's such like it's just so visceral the way it's just like thunk, and then he has to wrench it out, and then goes again. It's like oh fuck.
Yeah, and it's real. It reminds me kind of how BoJack does their seasons. Yeah. They only have one F word, and that's at the season finale.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how it was. There's only one act of true violence. And that's at the very last second.
Yep.
Is it the same in Creep 2?
Creep 2 is a bit different. So okay. Creep 2 has a different feel. Because we already know. There's no need to build the suspense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The suspense building this time is Sarah going to die? Because he lays it out. He lays out rules. He says, I'm a serial killer, but I will not kill you in 24 hours. Within 24 hours. But this whole thing is pretty much him reaching a midlife crisis. He doesn't find any passion in his work anymore. So you're just like, what is going to happen?
Aaron was like his magnum opus.
Yeah.
The one man who truly trusted him.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. He does talk about Aaron a bit. And then you kind of get how he got into it in the first place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing for me is I don't believe him. I can't. There's nothing I can believe with him.
No, and you shouldn't. Like that's the most unreliable of sources you can get. Is a serial killer trying to lay it out for you?
I'm gonna lay it out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest question, though, for the entire film is, who the hell is Angela? She says
that's a good question.
Yeah. So in the beginning, Angela is said to be his wife.
Yeah.
But Aaron receives a phone call from Angela, and it turns out to be...
That said, it's from Joseph's phone. Like, he takes Joseph's phone and she's asking for Joseph, like, hey, Joseph, where are you? And then she goes, oh, who's this Aaron character? And immediately it's, hey, you should leave. You should get out.
So we can assume that Angela is a real person because she called Joseph's phone. We can assume that Joseph is his real name. So he gave Aaron his real name.
Yeah.
Which is a ballsy move.
Or alternatively, unless he's doing something where he's taking on the personality of the last person he killed. Like what?
Yeah, he does mention that in his...
Because Creep 2, he's calling himself Aaron.
Yeah, he does mention in Creep 2 that he does take on the personalities of people he kills.
So it's possible that he's killed...
But it was a woman's voice.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying it's possible he's killed a Joseph and has taken Joseph's phone as well. Who knows?
But then why would she
But that's
know?
Actually cool. Then, yeah, that's you know? A good that's a good point. Yeah. I
don't know, because, like, it could be, like, a fake call thing. It could be...
Yeah, he could have hired an actress or something.
That's true.
Yeah, I need you to call my phone, when I give you a sign.
Although she does say it's her... Like, in the call, she says it's her brother. That much we know. Like,
and she's calm about it. She says, just leave.
Yeah. She's like, hey, you should probably go. Just... Don't ask any questions. Just get out of the house and keep walking.
I wonder,
that's it.
See, like, but that, like, casts doubt on, like, his earlier, like... story.
Well,
was there any truth to that previous story with the whole Peach Fuzz thing?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. That's his persona. His
fursona.
Yeah. No, but like...
He's a furry.
But like, how much of his lies does he base, like, out of nowhere? Does he, like, base some of it on, like, stuff
that
he's
seen? Is the rape story true?
Yeah.
It's just that she's his sister, not his wife, which makes it weirder. What if he does have a kid on the way?
There are many questions we have, but none we can get from a reliable source.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's many questions we do have, but like no reliable source.
Does
Angela ever come up in Creep 2 out of curiosity?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's a shame.
Not at all.
Because I wanted to know more about her.
So Mark Duplass wants to make this into a trilogy. So there is a third one in the makings as we speak.
Oh, nice.
I think what he wanted to do, and this was over like a 10-minute browse on Internet Explorer. Just kidding, I use Google Chrome, kids. Internet Explorer is
dead.
What?
all the kids know you just go for that edge.
Like someone who isn't a psychopath.
That's where you're wrong.
Joseph's the kind of person that uses Microsoft Edge.
Oh, God. Oh, I haven't heard that. Oh, anyway, point being, so Mark Duplass is thinking of making like a prequel going into Joseph's backstory.
Ooh, I'd be down to see that.
Yeah, I love prequels so much. The only prequel I fucking hate is Wolverine Origins.
I enjoyed that movie.
You and me both.
You didn't read the comic then.
Oh,
no,
shit.
It's not a good movie. It's just enjoyable to watch because I like seeing Wolverine stab people.
Okay, Wolverine stabbing people is fine. Wolverine as a character is fine.
Yeah.
I get. But like, the main complaint that everybody has is he's too tall. But
I don't care.
It's true. No.
Yeah.
See, my dad's a short man, so it really bothers him. I think that's why he likes Wolverine so much, because it's a it's a short, stocky man just fucking shit up. But and also, how can you just seal close the Merc with a mouth?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that bothered me too. Don't get me wrong. I hate that. The whole, like, laser eyes Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, when I was told Deadpool is in that movie, I was really disappointed when I got what I saw.
See, in the first few minutes that we saw Deadpool, it's like,
They did Wade Wilson well. They also fucked
Wade
up
Wilson
Deadpool.
Was beautiful. Yeah.
Speaking of bad parts and prequels, Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go with the Star Wars prequels. Those are what popped into my head.
That goes without saying.
Yeah,
no, but pod racing. I love pod racing.
Oh, but see, we watched it as we were kids, though. I feel like kids enjoyed The Phantom Menace. Like, rewatching it now as an adult, it's this is trash.
I still enjoyed The Phantom Menace.
I did watch
except
them
for, like,
pretty
the
recently.
Except for the scenes of, like, Jar Jar Binks.
It's like minor judgment here. Minor.
But, like, Jewel of the Fates came in. Like, that song is amazing.
Well, the score's good. Like, that's the thing. It's still Star Wars. Sorry.
Still John Williams.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's still the element.
Dual lightsabers.
I feel like we're getting way off topic, but let's continue on. Like,
dual lightsaber and fucking, it's got a demon face.
Yeah, no, right? Darth Maul is the coolest character. Right up until they give him robo legs.
Oh, but don't worry about it, because he's coming back.
No, they canned all those films.
They canned the solo films?
No, yeah, they canned all the spin-offs.
Why?
Because Solo did not do well. They released it so close to
The
Last
Jedi.
Yeah,
we talked about this in our Solo movie and our Solo episode about how they just shit-canned every other
spin-off. Our very first episode, Lizzie. You haven't been listening. It's obvious.
The Mike's Camera Action canon has already covered the Star Wars universe.
I'm a busy girl. I've got a real job, okay?
All right. Got me beat there.
I did listen to the Lars one because I love Helen Kreonis.
Yeah.
Helen, hi.
Now we got to get Helen to listen to this episode.
Oh, she will. You know,
I think
she
she's one of our listeners.
She'll name and be down for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got my own fan base.
Hey, Helen, come on back onto the show, please.
But yeah, no. So back to the film.
Back to the topic
at hand, not about Wolverine or any of that. But this, I would really love to see a prequel because especially if it's found footage and it's like, let's say it's someone
his first kill.
Well, he does talk about his first kill in Creep 2.
Really?
But we don't know if it's true.
That's true.
It's true. Look, you cannot trust anything a pathological liar will say. You cannot trust anything a pathological liar will say.
Oh, I know.
Trust what they do, which is why I really like seeing his actions throughout the film, because you can see, look, Aaron's immediate reaction is, this guy's creepy.
Yeah.
From the very first time he jumped up to the window of his car and said, hi, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is going to be a great day.
It's love at first sight.
Exactly.
Oh, it's a heart-shaped rock. Does he pull that in Creep 2 out of curiosity, like bring her back to the same place?
No, he doesn't. He does take her on a hike. He does take her to this body of water, but it's different feel.
Location.
It's a different feel. And I think it's because Aaron is a big fan of film.
Yeah.
He mentions Francis Ford Coppola in the next one.
Yep.
And I think he tries to make a different movie each time. Because the first 10 minutes, actually, is him with his next kill. And it's this poor guy. And I cannot for the life of me remember his name, but he was also in Safety Not Guaranteed, and he's been in things.
Yeah.
And this poor guy, it's different because Joseph comes in as like his friend and said, "Oh my God, you got this creepy video? This is horrible. He's in your house," and you're like, "It's you, fucker. We all know."
Motherfucker. God damn it.
But then he's just so jaded, and there's a scene where he's just like, "Look, buddy. I do this all the time. I sent these videos, and it's just like, I'm tired." And you think,
can we
maybe
just get to the murder part already?
Well, yeah, like, you think maybe he'll let him go, but nope. The guy tries to get out of the chair to leave, and Aaron Joseph, he just pulls out a knife and slashes his throat.
Aw.
And it's done. And he's like, something's got to change.
I do love the idea of a serial killer going through a midlife crisis. Yeah. I am going to totally check out Creep 2 later tonight when this is over.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
It sounds pretty interesting.
Look, I thought we were doing Creep 2. I was ready for it. I asked them after we watched Creep 1, I said, are you ready for Creep 2? And we watched Mean Girls instead.
A real, a spookier movie.
That was real spooky.
Oh, girl crime. Girl on girl crime.
Girl crime.
It's my life.
The thing that got me about Creep was I never felt like scared during it. I felt very uneasy.
There was a lot of suspense.
There was a lot of dread. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about this film. It's not necessarily a horror film.
No.
It's suspenseful.
And there isn't really a lot of... This is like an overused thing in horror movies, like in modern horror movies, but the jump scare.
Yeah.
There isn't really, like, Joseph does that to Aaron a lot, but it didn't get me too much where I was kind of like, yeah, I know he's trying to pull something here. So you often expect, but then once the original scare's over and he's just now stalking this guy,
that's
when it gets good. That's when I think this movie really comes into its own where it's like, what's gonna happen?
Like,
next?
It was so frightening when Aaron was standing in the middle of the room in his house and he moves and Joseph is just standing
at his front door, like just standing. Yeah,
and then I feel like that lurking is way more effective than the one in Paranormal Activity. Like the standing over the bed and have it like do the time lapse. I'm just like, all right, okay.
The one that got me, the part that started to get me was actually like before the scuffle, like he turns around and Joseph's no longer in the
Just standing on the balcony.
So like he's looking around like that was jumpy as all get out.
Yeah, he's going, he's ready, and then he notices Joseph's not there.
Yeah.
That's
a great camera movement, is where he just pans across where Joseph was and does nurse, starts moving out of the room,
and then immediately flips back.
And it's like, oh God, he's like, you can see. I like that. That's a lot of character and a lot of emotion in that just in camera movement, which you don't get a lot, where you see the moment he realizes. It's great.
It's my thing, though, is just, like, how built up is Joseph's tolerance? Because that dude gave him a full bottle of Benadryl.
He fucking drugged his ass.
Benadryl makes you drowsy as... Yeah. Have I ever been drugged
No,
before?
I'm saying, is Joseph... Oh. Do you think Joseph's been drugged before?
Well,
Joseph wasn't
sure.
really effective. He was drowsy as all get out, but he wasn't, like, asleep at any point. He was just lying down, like, almost, like, fading. Like, he was, like, twilighting, where you're, like, you're not asleep, but you're not awake.
Yeah.
Like, any time Aaron touched him, he'd be like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He was, like, sleep-talking a bit.
Yeah, he was, like...
sleep nearly jerking off.
Yeah, that was... Oh, peach fuzz. Himself.
Oh, Mr.
So
peach
I think...
Fuzz.
I wonder if that was also just a very calculated move. He's like, oh, this guy's drugged me. Let's fuck with him a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he just gets off I think he also slightly gets off on the murder.
Oh, he does.
Maybe he's a furry.
He
who knows?
I think he really gets off on the slow dread that his victims have.
Yeah.
Not the immediate dread. He doesn't torture with, like, the regular means of torture, physical torture. He does mental torture.
Yeah, it's not like a jigsaw type thing. This is a lot more like...
That's too much. It's too messy. The cleanup is just ridiculous. Messy.
You gotta rent out warehouses. You gotta build machines.
Ugh.
Too much work. Just send them a videotape and be done with it.
Nobody got time for that.
Just sneak into their house at night and record them while they sleep.
And cut their hair off.
And cut locks of their hair and cut open their fly screen and stuff.
Why didn't he go through his fucking footage?
Yeah. That's the thing that threw me off is he wakes up the next morning and is like, well, he cut the fly screen on my bedroom window and stuffed this DVD through.
It's not all he did, buddy.
Yeah,
and
if he just looked through like the last thing he recorded, he would have been like, oh no, he snuck into my house and took some of my hair. I'm going to the police right now.
Also, speaking of that, why the hell he installs new locks but then leaves the house when he thinks Joseph is there?
Yeah, that's the thing, when we're talking about like the white guy in a horror movie,
that's the moment when
I was like, you fucker, you've killed yourself. Because he's like, he puts in all this work to install a new deadlock on his house so that he won't get broken into, or at least he'll know when he's being broken
and
into.
Then he goes outside.
And then he opens it. He just walks right outside and goes, hey yo, you here?
And then he has a fly screen. He doesn't even put bars on his windows.
No.
I would go full. Also, why didn't he go to his parents' house? That's where I'd go. I'd be like, fuck this. I'm flying home.
He doesn't even tell anybody about this. He makes one call to the police and then goes, all right, that's it.
Oh, but I think Joseph was kind of probing him because he said, is there anybody in this world you'd like to make peace with? And he said, I got an ex, I guess. But he doesn't mention his family except for in that one story.
That's true. He might have,
he might have had no one.
Yeah, that's true. He might be in like in a new neighborhood or just in
out
a neighborhood without anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, because like, look, I've got no family here.
Yeah.
So if I have a stalker, where the fuck am I going? Please don't stalk me, anyone. I don't need that shit in my life.
She'll call the police immediately. Don't worry.
Dude, I have no problem fucking up a bitch. I was raised...
I'm like Aaron being hesitant to get the knife. Lizzie's
Don't mail Lizzie a knife. She'll use it.
I will use it, and I will not give you warning like Aaron. I'll be like, fuck you.
I'm paranoid.
I am paranoid.
American at heart, just ready to draw at any point.
Did I say I would use a gun?
No, but you'd bust out the knife if someone mailed it to you. You're gonna send it to me? Fuck yeah, I'll stab you with it.
But it wasn't a good stabbing knife.
It's like a kitchen knife. Let's be honest.
Dude, look, it's a chunk of metal that can do some damage.
Yeah. Just swing it like a lunatic. Someone will be scared.
Isn't as nice as I would like if I was trying to like actually stab someone.
You probably own better steak knives,
if
I'm
you
honest.
Actually, no, don't use a steak knife. Use a serrated knife because when you pull it out, it'll really do damage to the internal organs.
It's good to know you've done your research for your serial killing, Lizzie.
Use a bread knife.
Oh no, there comes from experience. There was this show I used to watch, and I can't remember the name of it, but they would like rate different warriors, like which warrior would kill.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I can't remember. And the Maori warriors with their serrated edges would cause a lot of damage.
Yeah,
I'm like, good to know.
I remember I did one where they were rating. I think it was like medieval knights against samurai.
Yep.
Because the katana, they were like, the katana is this fast, and you can make three cuts in the same amount of time as it takes to do like
one swing with the claymore.
The claymore obliterates you. So
yeah, that's true.
Exactly. And
sure, you can take three slashes, but you only need
samurai.
One.
Was it samurai?
Yeah, samurai.
Samurai have like not the same quality of armor.
Yeah, it's like
Well, that to be fair, they're like different sorts of weapons. You don't need the metal armor in a samurai thing.
Yeah.
You just use metal plate like with sewn within.
Yeah.
Because they're not gonna just brutally like claymore you.
This is like way off topic, but I just want to bring this up anyway because I haven't talked about it on air before. I saw that there's a whole sport.
It's a great segue.
Yeah, I know, right? There's a whole sport dedicated to just like people in armor just beating the shit out of each other with blunted weapons.
Yeah.
And doesn't Calvin do that?
No, that's LARP. There's actually a legitimate sport with metal weapons.
They just like dress in like full proper like medieval armor. And then just wail the shit out of each other.
It
showed me like...
It's basically a blood sport.
Yeah,
it's
and men. I hadn't seen before... Yeah, and I hadn't seen before like...
a mixed gender version too.
Testosterone. Yeah. Well, look, I know there's
raw testosterone
women.
Encased in metal.
What would Boudica do?
What would Boudica do?
Is that your motto?
Yes, for everything. Except I'm not... Look, I say I'm a violent person, but I'm running away. Fuck this shit.
Yeah.
If I can get out alive, I will. I'm not Peter Pettigrew, but I'm not stupid.
That was exactly like when he sees Joseph on the balcony, and then Joseph like, and he tells him like, "Hey man, you need help," and then Joseph runs off.
That's me.
I wouldn't have gone down the stairs.
No, I would go out there.
I would have just gone off the balcony. Like I'm throwing the camera down, and then I'm climbing off the balcony.
If there's a balcony though, so the way American houses are made, if there's a balcony like outside and it's large, they usually have a staircase that goes down.
Yeah.
So there would have been a staircase there.
I wouldn't have gone through the house. I would have said like, "Nah, my keys can stay here. I'll call a tow truck. I don't care." I'm walking.
He really should have just walked out. He shouldn't try to talk to him at all.
Nope.
The sister said, "Look, if someone calls me and they know this person and they say, you need to leave the house right now.
I'm
I am
leaving.
Not looking for this person.
No.
I am not going to help this person. Have fun with your drowsy nap."
Yep. I will check the fuck out. I will take whatever the most immediate way out of the building is.
Goodbye.
I'm not walking to the bottom of the stairs. I'm not going through a dozen rooms. I'm going straight out the front door.
I am calling the police.
Yep. That's exactly
Please pick me up, police.
911, please. I need help. Here's my address.
Also,
I've just been told to leave and this guy's really creepy. And also, I think he raped somebody. Boom. Case done.
You know
case
what you were saying
solved.
About the balcony? Remember the building is on a hill.
Yeah.
So it's not just like from second floor up. It's more than that.
Yeah.
But they would have the staircase.
But balconies don't float. So I'm going to scale down. I don't care how hard it is. I'm not going through the building. I'm scaling down whatever kind of pole is holding that thing up. I'm sliding down. I'm climbing. I don't care. I just want out.
There would be a staircase, though. Cause,
even if there isn't, I'm just saying, regardless, I'm getting out of there. Like, I'm going into open air and I'm jumping off if I have to. I'll tuck and roll. I don't care.
That's fair.
The moment he goes back into the house... looking for Joseph, I'm like,
oh, he didn't go looking for Joseph.
Well, not looking
he
for Joseph,
knew.
But going out through the door.
Well, because the reason why he went so slow down the stairs, I think it was to build suspense on a technical level.
Yeah,
and two, I think it was because he knew he was going to be downstairs and he was just trying to leave.
Yeah,
he was
exactly.
Like, fuck, this is bad.
But I'm not going back through the house where I know he is. I'm just going to be like, all right, where's the immediate exit that doesn't, it's like trying to leave a building that's on fire. I'm not going through the fire. I'm not going to where I think there's fire. I'm taking whatever the exit is where I know there's not fire.
But see, the whole thing comes down to push comes to shove. Aaron thinks he can take him.
Yeah, that's true.
Aaron's a big guy. That's
a big dude. Aaron's just like, this is a man. I can take him on. I can push through him. Yeah. I'm a big dude.
That's true.
That's what I mean.
I'm not messing with a guy who could have a weapon, though.
Yeah, physically speaking.
I don't care how big or small you are. Give a guy a knife and I'm still terrified of him.
Bless your soul.
Yeah.
But
he didn't have a knife.
Speaking,
that was the point.
But he could have. But this is a house with a crazy person in it.
He ran down the stairs.
I'm not trying. It doesn't matter. I don't know what kind of things he could have downstairs.
But Carl, you are not as big as Aaron, so that would not be.
Yeah.
You've already got the mindset of an average
of a
height
terrified
man.
Human being.
Yeah.
Like
so
if it was
Aaron
like if it was you, me.
Yeah.
I'd like
you would
to
try
consider
and fight
my
me?
Odds. Yeah,
yeah, like. You would barrel through him.
Yeah. And if I were going to murder you, you'd be dead.
But
I'd go for the axe.
Wow.
But see, like, he's barehanded. That's the thing. He doesn't confront Aaron. He doesn't confront Joseph until you take a look at him, and Joseph is just barricading with
his
hands.
He's just barricading the door. He's got nothing in his hands. He's just got the wolf mask on. He's thin.
I'm not even going down those
stairs.
He's
very thin. He's shorter than Aaron, and Aaron is a bulky guy. And I think, I don't think he was thinking. I think he was panicked.
Fight or flight.
And he wanted to go. He wanted to try to leave.
I do got to give him credit for the fight or flight response. And he chose fight. I love it when people do that.
Yeah, and he just was like, fuck this, I'm running through
it. It was like when he was, later on, Joseph talks about there was that moment where after you were scared where like you looked like you wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
true.
That's what happens is that he's terrified. So the fight or flight kicks in for sure. And it's, fight, 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 kill, kill, kill.
Yeah. I love seeing like when fight or flight responses. I love seeing when there's a prank video where someone jumps out of a bin like to scare somebody and the
and
guy just
punch?
Immediately punches him in the nose and drops him down into the bin. It's amazing.
Oh, that's me.
There needs to be more people like that in the world. That's me.
Every time, because I have a really, really bad startle reflex, really bad. And I remember one time in high school, oh God.
Here we go.
Bless my friend Ruby, she came up behind me once and she startled me and I elbowed her in the face because I'm just, woo, who's behind me? And I'd like to thank my dad for that. Thanks, Dad.
Drawer over here, just ready to elbow you, right?
Elbowing anyone, so don't sneak up behind me, please.
Sneak up in front?
No, because I've punched too.
Sneaking from the side.
I almost punched. Oh
coming
my God.
From above.
I almost punched my cousin's grandfather in the face. he came up behind. I had to pull back because I was like, oh, you're old.
Oh no.
Oh, if I punch you, they'll come after me.
You will die.
Oh no.
I will be a murderer. Please, oh God.
I think old man murder is a perfect time to end.
Lucy's like, please no.
So with that, we'll end the show. Thanks, Lizzie, for coming on.
Of course.
Next week on Mike's Camera Action, we're looking at Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the original, like 1984, not the 2010 remake. This is we're going Robert Englund,
and not the one where Groundskeeper Willie dies and then comes back in the dreams.
We could talk about that, I'm sure, when we actually do the episode.
Lousy smutch weather.
Yeah. All right.
Like, Groundskeeper Willie is the hottest Simpsons character, let's be real. Happy haunts.